If you tuned in today, hoping for some good preaching, excellent music, and beautifully crafted prayers, welcome to a church who is ready and anxious to show you even more. If you tuned in today with a mind full of hard-pressed questions and unsure explanations, welcome to a church who has been asking those same questions for a long while and are eager to ask even more. If you tuned in today slightly curious or tremendously ready to learn about this Christian way of life, welcome to a church who has been waiting to share our life-giving, justice-seeking, turn-it-on-its-head Christian faith with you. And if you tuned in today, confident in what you believe or have no idea what you believe, then at least believe this. You are welcome at Old South Church in Boston, for we are an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. No matter who you are, no matter where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. Hello to you joining from all over the globe. This is who is tuning in right now. Take a look. There you are all over God's good creation. There you are, and here we all are, dispersed but gathered as one right now. We'd love to know more about who you are and have a chance to say hello. So whether this is your first time tuning in, or you are a weekly attender, whether you are watching live right now or catching us later, fill out our virtual friendship pad. A link is in the chat feature. Click it, copy and paste it into your browser, fill it out, and introduce yourself. Friends, if you tuned in today, not sure if you belong, not sure if you should be here, look into my eyes and believe me when I tell you welcome. Welcome to a church that knows we couldn't be, couldn't teach, couldn't preach, couldn't worship without you. Welcome. Let us pray. O Holy Spirit, blow your winds among us this hour. Clear out the cobwebs of closed minds and outworn ideas. Fill us with the freshness of your living love. Refit us, that as we leave this time, we will be ready to be your people in the world. We ask this in the name of the one who makes all things new, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hi kids, it's Pastor Catherine. In today's service, we'll hear Jesus tell a story of the weeds and the wheat. It's a story about gardening, so I thought I'd show you my garden. A lot of different plants grow in my garden. Some have beautiful flowers, and some have big green leaves. And over here, Elliot is growing some moss. Lots of different plants, and each one grows differently. Now God knows every plant by name, just as God knows each of us by name. But for me, sometimes it is hard to tell exactly what things are. what is a plant that I want to keep, and what's a weed that I should pull out. If I played Guess That Green Sprout, I might tear out a strawberry plant or a beautiful flower along with the weeds. Or I might leave a weed that would take over the whole garden. Let me show you what I mean. You see this bush? I planted this last year, and I was so proud. I found it growing in another part of the yard, and I moved it here because I thought it looked pretty nice. Guess what? It's a weed, an invasive species, and it has thorns, and it can give you a rash. So yeah, that bush has got to go. But then look, check this out. I thought for sure that this plant was a weed, but in fact, it's called Enchanter's Nightshade. And not only does it grow pretty little white flowers, some cultures even use this plant for medicine. And I was gonna throw it out, I thought it was a weed. It is so hard to tell. Because unlike God, I don't know every inch of creation by name. So, maybe in today's story of the weeds and the wheat, Jesus was asking us to leave the sorting and the figuring and the judging to God. Will you pray with me? Dear God, thank you for helping us to each grow in our own ways. And we all say, Amen.
So Jesus told the people another parable about what the kingdom of heaven was like. A man sowed good seed in his field, but when everyone was asleep, his enemy came and sowed weeds amongst his wheat and then ran away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, well, the weeds also appeared. The man's servants came to him and said, Sir, we thought you planted good seed. Where did all these weeds come from? And he said, That was from my enemy. So the servants asked, well, do you want us to go pull the weeds? And he said, no. If you pull the weeds, you're going to uproot the wheat. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to wait till harvest time. Tell the harvester to harvest everything, wheat and the weeds. Take the weeds, bundle them up, and burn them. And with the wheat, well, put them in my barn.
When we encounter the great contests of the Bible, those between good and evil, right and wrong, oppressor and oppressed, David versus Goliath, the oppressed Hebrews versus the Egyptian overlords, Moses versus Pharaoh, Jesus versus the Pharisees, we invariably identify with the good guys who are also invariably the underdogs. We are David, not Goliath, Peter, not Judas, John the Baptist, not Herod, the oppressed, not the oppressors. Erna Kim Hackett calls this Disney princess theology, bad theology. She goes on to write, for citizens of the most powerful country in the world, who enslaved both native and black people, to see ourselves as the enslaved Hebrews and not Egypt, is a perfect example of Disney princess theology. And it means that as people in power, they have no lens for locating themselves rightly in scripture or society. It has made them blind and utterly ill-equipped to engage issues of power and injustice. It is, she concludes, some very weak Bible work. So what if we tried doing strong Bible work today? Bear with me. It won't be easy. What if in today's parable, the parable of the weeds among the wheat, what if we located ourselves not with the wheat, but with the weeds? I know this isn't any fun. It doesn't feel good. It's uncomfortable. No one wants to be weeds. Yet, in the interest of a relentlessly radical Jesus, who preaches and teaches uncomfortable truths, what if we imagined ourselves the weeds, not the wheat, in today's parable, the chokers, not the choked, the invaders, not the invaded? Now, the parable tells of a real Middle Eastern weed, the tare or darnel, which in its infancy looks to all the world like wheat, even to a trained eye. But it's not wheat. As it grows, it insinuates its roots around those of the wheat, so that by the time it reaches a mature stage, the stage when it is finally distinguishable from the wheat, it's too late to be weeded out. If you pull up the weeds, they will take the wheat with them. Moreover, if consumed, it's somewhat poisonous. In the end, the wheat and these noxious weeds can only be separated after they are harvested. In the meantime, they live and grow together in close proximity, often indistinguishable. The story is good news, great good news to the innocent, the blameless, the victims, to those denied justice, to those being choked, suffocated, and oppressed in this world. The good news is this: if not in this world where they suffer, then in the next, God will right wrongs. Justice will be served. Reward and punishment will be meted out. And the innocent, the oppressed, will have both their day and their reward. The parable is about the church. And it suggests that good and bad exist together, even in the church, even among us. And this: they cannot always be clearly distinguished. Augustine of Hippo, an early church father, an African father, whose life spanned the 4th and 5th centuries, Augustine of Hippo used a Latin phrase, corpus permixtum, to describe the church, corpus permixtum, meaning a mixed body, a combined, confused, mingled body of good and evil. He was admitting and attesting that the church isn't perfect. We're not perfect. We are not pure. We are tainted. Today, post-Freud, we would allow that each of us as individuals, is ourselves a corpus permixtum, mixtures of both good and evil, brave and cowardly, innocent and guilty, generous and miserly, blameless and compromised, good Samaritan and the one who walks by averting our gaze. We are imperfect, and this, let us say it, we are captive to our own self-interests. Now, I've been reading this parable of the weeds and the wheat in the light of a best-selling book by Ibram X. Kendi, How to Be an Anti-Racist. I suspect some of you have read it or are reading it. It's an all-church read. We're challenging the whole church to read it. It's been atop the New York Times bestseller list for a while now, and its subject, race, racism, anti-racism, privilege, equity, are at the heart and center of this painful, important season of national reckoning. Racism is a catastrophe. In his book, Kendi reflects on his experience as a young student with, and I quote, a heightened sensitivity to the glares from white teachers who saw my black body not as a plant to be cultivated, but as a weed to be plucked out of their school and thrown into their prison. In the same 13th chapter of Matthew, Jesus says, "If you are not with me, you are against me." Ibram Kendri makes a similar claim, a parallel claim. He says, if you are not an anti-racist, if you are not with and about anti-racism, then you're for it, or you're okay with it, or you're permitting it, which is the same thing. It's not enough to say, I'm not a racist. If I am not an anti-racist, am I not among the weeds? Since 1619, since the first Africans arrived on this soil, uprooted from home and family and country, captured, chained, transported, bought, sold, since 1619, racism has been a catastrophe for people of color. If I am not actively working to fight this centuries-old wrong, am I not among the weeds, the invaders, the chokers, the asphyxiators and oppressors? Now, I'm not going to leave us there, invader weeds with no hope of repentance, of redemption. Church, there is always hope. It is never too late to turn and repent. Theologian Frederick Buechner has written that the Christian gospel is always bad news before it's good news. The gospel is first the news that we are sinners, to use an old biblical word. We are sinners. It is the news that we are human, flawed, imperfect, complicit, self-oriented, a corpus permixtum. However, and bear with me now, the Christian gospel is also always and relentlessly good news. It bears witness to the news that we are loved, loved anyway. Flawed, yet cherished, guilty, yes, but also forgiven, bleeding to be sure, but also bled for. It is good news that in this parable, the weeds, the invasive, choking intruder, isn't immediately plucked up and sent into hell. The weeds are given the gift of time. Time to repent, to turn, to face into our own complicities as imperfect, impure, compromised human beings. Time to uncouple ourselves from Disney princess theology. Time to stop seeing ourselves as the good guys and the underdogs. Time to do hard, honest, strong biblical work. Time to locate ourselves rightly in Scripture and society. Time to open our eyes and our hearts to engage issues of power and injustice. For such issues, these are close to the heart of God. This I believe. A great contest is upon us. A fierce battle is being waged now, a battle between right and wrong, good and evil, justice and oppression. It is being waged on our streets, in our courts, among our legislators, between mayors and police departments, in housing and mass incarceration. The battle is joined in one of the great contests of human history, and the soul of our nation is at stake. Racism is high and deep and broad and wide. It is huge, pervasive, invasive, mean, merciless, suffocating, noxious. If we are not actively battling it, we are enabling it, permitting it. Ready yourselves for battle. Be on the right side, on the side of God, of history, of justice. It is never too late. Redemption is always possible. O people of God, Why be weeds when we can be wheat?
Let us pray. O Creator of all, O Ancient of Days, O Garden Walker, O Night Wrestler, O Mountain Thunderer, O Gentle Whisperer, O Water Walker, O Heart Healer, O Beauty beyond all description, we, the humblest of your creation, lift our hearts in praise and in prayer. You plant each of us like seeds in the same field, and together we are nourished and nurtured by the sun. We sway in the wind and are refreshed by the rain. We are blessed by the knowledge that you want us to grow towards what you call us to be. When we deprive others of that same opportunity, transform us and forgive us, we pray. When we are afraid to look into the fields of our own lives to see what is growing there, transform us and forgive us, we pray. Wash from our hands the dust of earthly striving. Take from our minds the stress of secret fear. Bring us healing for the wounds we hide from all but you. Holy God, tend to those who suffer in mind, body, and spirit. Tend to the tired, to the ill, the mourning, the hungry, the struggling. Help us to follow the love of Christ, a love which urges us on. Help us to seek and serve Christ in others, bringing forth a new creation. May your love take root in our lives, and may we walk by faith. Holy God, we ask all this in the name of Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
They say that the power of the church is shrinking, that we are worn out of touch, expired. But ask Massachusetts lawmakers about the church, about faith communities of all traditions, and they will tell you we are anything but powerless. Last week, the Greater Boston Interfaith Organization, of which Old South Church is a proud member, answered the call to help pass meaningful police reform in the Commonwealth. The Reform, Shift, and Build Act is a direct response to the community's call for good, solid police reform, and it begins to shift our laws so that they reflect that gospel truth that Black lives matter. And so, GBIO and Old South Church, we went to work. We called, we emailed, rallied, and tweeted. We swelled the State House with testimony and theology. And in the wee hours of Tuesday morning, the Senate passed the bill. Now that was a good first step, but there is a lot more we can do to make God's reign a reality in Massachusetts and around the world. But we can't do it alone. We need you. We need your prayers and your action and your resources. We need everyone to take part in some way or another, because the truth is, we are powerful when we are together. When you give today, you are joining in that holy work of making our world a just and better place. And you are supporting the work of organizations like GBIO, who brings faith communities together so that our collective voice is anything but small. To give, hover your cursor over the video, click or copy and paste the link that's in the chat feature, or head over to oldsouth.org/donate. The morning offering will now be given and received.
Too far from where I stand.
Let us pray. God of glory, we dedicate these offerings to you, that they may be used to extend your reign of hope. And with them, we offer our very lives, that each of us may be for this world signs of your faithful presence and love. This we pray to you in gratitude for Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
May you love God so much that you love nothing else too much, and may you fear God enough that you need fear nothing else at all. And the blessing of Almighty God, our Creator, Christ, our brother and Savior, and the Holy Spirit be with you this day and every day, and let the whole church say, Amen.